All right. Hey, welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is December the 15th, 2024. Beautiful day here on the east side. I hope it's great wherever you're at. Sunday, football Sunday, relax Sunday. Actually, supposed to paddle this morning. Scheduled to paddle at 1 o'clock. It is now 10 after 1 because, unfortunately, paddling was canceled. Bummer. My coach is going through some stuff with his mother and, you know, had to cancel, unfortunately, at the last minute. Sort of, you know, I'm pretty neutral. I mean, part of me is happy, part of me is sad, but it is what it is. You know, I understand I'm going through the same sort of thing with my father. Just when you think you have a plan, all of a sudden things get changed. And so I know for me, I just need to be, you know, respectable and understanding and just let that happen. And hopefully his mom, I really like his mom. So hopefully they'll get that figured out. But yeah, now I have some time on my hands. So I thought maybe I'll come up and see what I can chat about. It is Sunday. No meeting today. No meeting last night. Yeah, I went to a meeting on Friday. You know, it's funny. I went to a meeting. I've gone to a few. I've done a lot this week, I feel like. I went to a meeting on Monday. Meeting on Wednesday. Then a guy called me, asked me if I'd come speak at a meeting on Thursday. Went to a meeting on Thursday and spoke. And then went to the meeting on Friday. And my buddy who runs that meeting, of course, didn't have anybody to speak. Because, right, he's sort of, I don't know, I won't say taking this meeting hostage, but I just think he feels obligated to make sure that there's a meeting, right? And so he has the meeting every Friday, and like I've said many times, it gets to be a real challenge to find people to come and speak. You know, that guy that called me on, I think he called me on Tuesday and was like, can you come share? That was in a whole, that was a half hour away town. And, you know, but that's the, you know, I remember when I first came in the program, you know, all of the opportunities to give back and you know, be of service. For a guy like me, when I first came in, I really had nothing to offer. Sitting in a chair at a meeting, as much as it seems like we're not helping anybody, the reality is it is helping, because if I was the only person there and another person showed up with less time, that's a meeting. So, you know, I was taught early that even coming to a meeting, sitting in a chair and saying nothing is a way of giving back. But, right, over time, we get a little better. We actually sort of show that we're going to actually show up, right? And more opportunities are given to us, whether it's being a greeter, making coffee. You know, back in the day, I used to wash ashtrays. There was a whole slew of jobs you could do, you know, when you're in early recovery. And then finally, you'd make it to the grand poobah, which is the secretary. And the secretary's job for the month is, this can depend, depending on how many volunteers are in the group. But, you know, I've been the secretary where I've gotten the key, I had to open the door, turn on the lights, make the coffee, set up the cookies, put out the literature, set a front, and on top of all that, find somebody to come and share. And early on, man, I was like, I'm into it. You know, and early on, you know, you're asking people and people are like, yeah, I can do it. Yeah. And so it would be great, you know, for a month, right? About a month, because after the month, then you start running out of people to ask, for, you know? And so that's why usually we give that secretary job to a person once a month. And so, yeah. You know, and I've even been in situations where I was a secretary, but we'd actually had someone that actually came in and also made the coffee, right? If you get enough people that want to do these jobs, you know, you could have a guy making one kind of coffee, make the decaf, put out the cookies, the literature. There's a lot of jobs, but it just depends on how many hands are on deck. And but my buddy, man, he just, I don't know why he hasn't put it out to the group. I have two buddies, right? My Monday night friend and my Friday night friend. We're both sort of doing the same thing, same place, different day. And, you know, I stopped going to the Monday night meeting because of that, right? Because what happens is you end up hijacking people in the parking lot, which is fine for a while, but, you know, we get tired of hearing the same people share. You know, the idea is you bring in fresh blood, fresh stories, and, you know, it's just work, right? It's just work. And so, long story short, went to the meeting on Friday. My buddy had the meeting. Of course, he didn't have anybody to speak. And then he's like, you know, when's the last time you spoke? I was like, well, geez, I just spoke at another meeting last night. And he's like, all right. The thing that sort of frustrates me is that he will just read from literature, but it isn't AA-approved literature, which I still I don't understand that. But to each his own. But, you know, like I said, long story short, he said, hey, man, you know, and so in so many words, can you share? And he's like, no, never mind. I'll take care of it because, you know, I haven't, you know, I'll just read, you know, something from the Fox, whatever his name is, book. And I was like, listen, I can share. I mean, I can come up with a topic. He's like, yeah, well, you just shared. I go, listen, all I have to do, the point really of a person sharing ideally is we end up with a topic, right? You know, it's nice to share a little of your story, enlighten the folks, where we started, where it was like, and what it's like now. But in the end, hopefully at the end, you can sort of, you know, create a topic that people can talk about, right? Song. But yeah, man, I don't think people, you know, one of the, you know, I remember when I first came to the program, how special meetings were, right? It was, I mean, I'm, you know, this is a guy who was absolutely doing the opposite of a meeting. And for me to slowly transition out of that life, and actually it wasn't a slow transition. It happened one night, right? One day I was a drunk, the next day I was not. And that's what meetings are for. They're for so many things. And actually, I shouldn't say that because I don't know if there somebody has written a specific thing what meetings are for. But what I have felt over my time in the program is what meetings have been great for is transitioning people from the old life to the new life, right? And I've shared before, man, I used to come into my first, when I first started coming into meetings, you know, hearing the laughter, right? Seeing people, you know, have great conversations, you know, hugging. I remember thinking, is this fake? Are these people fake? Nobody can be this happy. And so it was a real transition place for me, right? Because it's hard, right? It's hard to go from the life and behavior and lifestyle and the people that I hung out with and the things that were important to me and the things that were not important to me to transition to a life which is completely opposite, right? Completely opposite, right? Most of the relationships that I had before that were based on what can I get you? What can you get me, right? Let's get something. You know, in the end of my drinking and partying, I was by myself, right? Because I had become so bad, right? I mean, I was ruining amateur alcoholics, right? Because, you know, nobody wanted to drink like that. Nobody should drink like that. And there wasn't many people that would attempt to drink like that. So I basically was just by myself. And, you know, from a guy living in an apartment by himself, drinking vodka every night and just being miserable, to go to a place where my first meeting was and hearing laughter, it was like, it gave me hope, right? It gave me hope. And they're important. And I do remember it. In fact, I'm very aware of it. There are other people that really need to remember, you know, what these meetings are actually about. And I do know some people that, you know, claim it's their meeting, right? This is my meeting, right? And so they secretariat every week and they get into a rut because you've asked everybody to speak, right? It's one thing when I go and ask somebody to speak and they say yes, and then I try to attempt to go ask them again to speak, and you know, they'll probably say yes again. But it's different when somebody new comes and says, hey, I'm the secretary of this meeting for the month and I'm looking for a speaker. Can you do it? You know, not only do I say yes because that's what I've been told to do, but I'm also saying yes because I know this guy is working through some demons, right? Because I can tell you, the first time I had a secretary job and I had to find people to speak, I was scared. I was scared to ask. I was nervous. I thought they'd say no. I thought they would hate me, right? And so, you know, every little step of the way on this road to recovery is exposing more and more demons, more and more self, lack of humility, you know, living that life. It's just, you know, these are the kind of things that kind of expose things to us that we can sort of analyze and sort of figure out and then start to say, oh, wait a minute, you know, I get this. Right, this isn't about having the longest meeting or having a meeting. It's really, it's about humility, right? And we should all say, listen, nobody owns a meeting. And the unfortunate is that, like the Monday night meeting, which I liked, every time I would go, my buddy would be like, all right, who hasn't spoke? They're up, right? And there's like 8 or 9 guys that would try to come, you know, regularly. And every few weeks, every 4 weeks, one of us would have to come up and share because he didn't find anybody to speak. And he is making that about him, right? And the reality is that if someone's new, right, like I can tolerate that, it was fine. But after a while, I even got sick of it. I don't mind sharing, but what I mind is that he's not putting in the effort because he's sort of unfortunately lost his way a bit. And so I was like, I'm going to go find another meeting. And the meeting that I go to now on Mondays, they have a secretary every month, right? The other thing is that my two friends, especially my friend on Monday, you know, he's not allowing newcomers and new people into the program the ability to take that on as a commitment, right? There's many reasons why we'd like to try to get a new speaker or a new secretary every month. One, so it's a fresh face trying to find people to come share, right? But it's also giving new people an opportunity. With my buddy hijacking that meeting on Mondays, nobody has an opportunity to be a secretary there. And that's not what this is about, right? This is about transitioning people, right? Myself being transitioned from this life I'm living to this new life. And I can tell you, when I'd come into the program and I took my first secretary job, I felt like a CEO, right? I felt like the president of the company, right? And, you know, that feels good, man. It gives a person like me some hope and wants me to keep coming back. And then one day somebody asked me, hey, can you speak? And I was like, oh, shit, right? That's when it gets real. And like I share in the meetings, I love sharing. My disease hates it, right? And but I know, right? And what I've learned, everything I love or used to love was probably bad. And everything that I hate or feared is actually probably good for me. And speaking, you know, is one of those. You know, it's scary. I don't want to do it. So that probably means that I definitely should say yes. And I was told early on, we don't say no. We say yes to everything. And I've said no, right? And then as soon as those words came out of my mouth, I'm like, who? And even when my buddy Patrick asked me to speak on Thursday, I was like, let me check with my wife, right? That I was sort of out of respect to my wife. I knew that she would not tell me. I could not. But, you know, the disease doesn't want me sharing. The disease doesn't want me getting better. And because what happens is we sweat it, right? We're planning, we're thinking of all the things we're going to say, and then we sit down and we share something, right? And then at the end of the whole thing, we feel like a fucking $1 million, right? Because to me, that was the first example of what life is with fear and without fear. And I remember prior to me speaking, it's all fear. What am I going to say? I'm going to look like an idiot. They're going to hate me, yada, yada, yada. It gets done, and then we realize it didn't matter, and all of a sudden the fear is, I'm free of the fear. And that's really, to me, one of the beginnings of a spiritual relationship, a spiritual awakening, right? I've said so many times, to me, a spiritual awakening is not something I find. It's the byproduct of something I remove, right? Remove self, the devil, and what's left is a place, peace, love, and free of fear. And it's a pretty amazing spot. But, you know, fast forward a little more. I did speak. I volunteered. I said, here, I'll sit down. I can get us a topic going. And, of course, there was a bunch of guys from the meeting I was at the night before. They're like, oh, we get to hear you twice. And I'm like, you know, I'm just trying to start a topic. I don't like speaking. I feel like even when I spoke on Thursday, same thing, right? Going through what I'm going to talk about. I'm going to be clever. I'm going to be funny. I'm going to be witty. I'm going to be full of knowledge. I'm going to save the room, right? Sometimes when I get people to speak, they're like, well, what do I talk about? I say, I don't know. Just save the room. And of course, they're like, oh, I'm like, I'm just kidding, right? But I was going through it all in my head. What are we going to do? And then all of a sudden, you sit down. Like I said, I had a timer. I forgot to turn it on. I mumbled a bunch of words for 20 minutes, and then I said, that's all I got. My name is Tom, and thank you for letting me share, and that was it. Nobody cares, right? Nobody cares. Everything I said was nothing that I had planned, and but I was fine. It works out. And so when I shared on Friday, I was like, I'm not here. I'm not doing a tour here. I'm just going to get us a topic going. And, you know, one of the topic that I brought up was the third step. Because I am still, I'm fascinated that when I came into the program and started doing the steps, I remember doing the third step and just being like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. And not really quite understanding what the third step meant, right? And so, let me read it. It is made a decision, right, to turn our will, thinking, and our lives, action, over to the care of a God of our understanding. No, wait a minute. As a God as we understand him. Let me read that again. Made a decision to turn our will, thinking, and our lives, action, over to the care of a God as we understand. Stand him. I don't have a lot of light in here. And, you know, when I heard that, I was like, okay, yeah, that sounds good. I know I've heard of God and I've prayed before. So yeah, we'll turn. I'm gonna turn my will and my my life over to God, I guess. And then moved on, right? And then moved on. But today, you know, and I shared, you know, I listened to those Joe and Charlie tapes. If you got them, go check them out and listen to them talk about the third step. They really, this is probably 3 years ago, 2 years ago, I listened to that and I had a real awakening on really what the third step is and what it was and what it does. And, you know, when we turn our will and our life, made a decision, right? And that's, you know, I've been sort of hammering that around lately, you know. I do not have a drinking problem. I have a decision-making problem, right? You know, if what came first, the drink or the decision? The decision, right? Once we make that decision and we put the alcohol in our mouth, there is, it falls into a new category, character defect or a deadly sin, which it would be gluttony. Because once I put alcohol in my mouth, I become gluttonous. I cannot stop. Just like as a person who, you know, overeats and just eats and eats and eats and eats until they become huge and disfigured and, you know, sores and just, it's a deadly sin. It's gluttony. It's unfortunately mine involves alcohol, but once I start drinking, I can't stop. The liquor has to run out. I have to pass out or I have to go to jail, but nothing, you won't hear me say, I think I've had enough. That just doesn't come out of my mouth. Right. And so, the decision, right? I can do something about that. And so to make a decision, right? And I also didn't understand that when I started making, because my life had been so many bad decisions, right? Serving self, so self felt like they were good decisions, but looking back at them from afar, they were really bad decisions, right? And they were inconsiderate of other people. They were inconsiderate of myself, right? They were serving self, but not really thinking it through, right? But definitely inconsiderate of the people around me, the places around me, whatever it was. I did whatever I wanted to do as long as I was happy, and I didn't care about anybody else's feelings. And to me, that is, you know, living a life of self, right? And to me, self is ego and pride and all that, and those are, to me, demons, right? And when I came into the program, right, you know, when I went to the hospital on March 31st, 1997, there was a moment where the nurse asked me, do you think you have a drinking problem? Just a simple answer, yes or no, right? I had to make a decision. Self probably would have said no, but for some reason, I found a little bit of humility, and I said, I do. I do. And from that moment on, that to me was a humble decision that was based in more about God, right? Because that was not serving self. That was really going to ruin all that self had done. All the, excuse me, jeez. All the hard work that self had put in to get us to this selfish place. And all of a sudden, this one little humble, you know, answer, I do, comes out and wrecked it all, right? But, you know, to me, looking back, that did not feel like that was a building a relationship with God. Right, because I didn't close my eyes, right? I didn't hang my head down. I didn't pray and ask for something for God. I made a humble decision, right? And in turn, that thinking would reflect in my actions, right? Because I would go upstairs. I would be admitted into the hospital, and the people from the program would come find me. Again, another decision. Would you like to come down and go to a meeting with us? Self could have been like, no, right? Because I had stitches. My face was all busted up. I would have been embarrassed. I could have been like, no. I'll do it in a week, right? But for some reason, God was in me, and he said, yes, I'll come down. And I went down, right? My second humble decision, right? I was making decisions. I was changing my thinking, and in turn, it would change my actions, which in turn started to change my life, right? Started to feel better, right? And, you know, so I think, and it seems like even when I shared on this topic, and sort of talked about the revelation, and several people shared and said, you know, I remember doing the third step and reading it and then being like, okay, all right, well, I know God and I've prayed, so let's just go on to the fourth step. And, but then, you know, I'll hear people saying like, I don't understand how to have a spiritual awakening. I don't know how you have a relationship with a higher power. And I think a lot of these people will think like I used to think, which is, I've prayed to God, I've asked him for things, and I've gotten nothing. So I don't believe and I don't have any faith in God. And I had to go back and start rewriting what, for me, what I think of as a higher power and a relationship with a higher power is today. And I look back and I say, that was it. That was the beginning, right? We get a little bit of it in the first step, right? We admitted, right? Admitted is surrendering. I give up, right? But in that third step, you know, is the beginning of a relationship. And, you know, coming in the program, like I was starting to make some good decisions, some better choices, and it was reflecting, but, you know, I was still making some bad choices, right? A lot more good public decisions, but, you know, still making privately some bad choices, right? And, you know, whether it's lying, cheating, whatever it is. But slowly, right, over time, we evolve, and it started getting better, and I don't know. It was just, it was a real revelation for me. So go back and read the third step if you want. Go listen to the Joe and Charlie tapes. I think they're great. I think they're very helpful when it comes to those. They explain these steps a little better than what I thought, right? So, all right. Let me read the daily reflections, and then I am going to do nothing. I'm going to go, I think, maybe watch some football. All right. Let's see. December the 15th. Doing anything to help. Yep, here we go. Offer him the alcoholic friendship and fellowship. Tell him that if he wants to get well, you will do anything to help. There you go, Alcoholics Anonymous, page 95. I remember how attracted I was to the two men from AA who 12-stepped me. They said I could have what they had with no conditions attached, that all I had to do was make my own decision to join them on the pathway to recovery. Oh, man. When I start convincing a newcomer to do things my way, I forget how helpful those two men were to me in their open-minded generosity. That's right, right? Make your own decision to join them on the pathway to recovery, right? That is the beginning to a relationship with a higher power. And, you know, that's huge. All right. Well, listen, I hope everyone has a great day. We'll get back into the week next week. And thanks for letting me share. Bye. I have wished for so long. I wish for you today. And the winds are blowing, and the skies keep turning gray. And the sun is setting, the sun.